Today we're going to talk about love, and that's the theme for today. And we're coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it talks about love being the greatest gift we have. And as we look at that 13th chapter, I just want to share a little bit about what's going on here. Paul is preaching to a church that is divided, is puffed up, thinks highly of themselves, and they're not cooperating and coordinating with each other. Yes, they're doing great things. Yes, they are discovering their gifts, but what they don't have is love in the midst of it. So therefore, in this verse, these verses in chapter 13, he's talking about love. Now, if you're reading from the King James translation, it uses the word charity, but that means love. I'm reading from the New King James translation, which is an updated translation and has changed charity to love. It's the same thing in the Greek. It means the same thing. 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things and believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there are knowledge, it will vanish away. Amen. Today's topic is the priority of love, the priority of love. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand, Lord, that as we work together, as we coordinate with one another, love must be in the midst. Lord, take over this message at this time. It might be my voice, Lord, but it's your spirit. Father, I just pray that we can clear our hearts and minds of all the concerns of the world to hear what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about this church in Corinth. This is one of the churches that Paul founded, and he's writing a letter to it, and he's challenging them. There's some things, there's some behavior that is not appropriate going on in this church. In chapter 5, he talks about there's some immorality going up on in the church, and people are puffed up, thinking about themselves a little more highly than they ought to. And even though they might be doing some good works, there is no love. And without love, it invalidates the work that you are doing. And because they were thinking so much of themselves, they became divided. And that's why in the 12th chapter, Paul talks about the different gifts that we have, the diversity of gifts that we all have. However, out of all those gifts, we are still one body. And as you know, in chapter 12, we look at it as we see the diversity of the gift. He tries to make the point very clear that regardless of what gift you have, we all have to coordinate together. And he uses the illustration of the body, the hands, the feet, the eyes. And you know, they individually, they do their job, but coordinated, they can do so much more. So we see here that there is a division or a misunderstanding within the church about gifts and the ability of gifts and trying to show off with our gifts. But that ought not to be. We ought to be united in our gifts. We need to thank God for the gifts that we have. And we might, you know, we just need to thank God for that. The author Jonathan Swift once said that we have just enough religion to make us hate, but not enough to make us love one another. And, you know, and that's a very telling statement that we find that in churches today among church folks, that there is a lack of love. Sometimes we get so involved with our ministry that we kind of forget why we are doing our ministry. We get happy with people sharing how good of a job we are doing, but we neglect to remember that's our gift. You know, that's why we can do it better than other people can do it, because we are gifted in that. And so we do that. And in chapter 12, also, we are warned against coveting or desiring somebody else's gift. Work within our own area of giftedness. And he closes chapter 12 by urging us to desire the best gifts. Now, in this chapter, he talks about love being the underpinning spirit among all the gifts that we have. Now, as we look at love, now in the English language, there is only one word for love. We say love, but we use it in different ways. Now, in the Greek, there were three ways that love is described in the Greek language. So as you read your Bible, the New Testament, you see that word love, sometimes you have to kind of go back to the Greek and see what kind of love they are talking about. There's Eros love, and that's that love we celebrate today on Valentine's Day. That's that romantic love. That's that love you hear songs being sung about. You know, that's the kind of love that we display when we exchange flowers and cards and roses and dinners and everything else to our loved ones, our special our spouse. You know, so that's type of love. Eros is one type of love. Filio is another type of love that we see in scripture. And it's a reciprocal type of love that appears several times in the Bible and kind of lends itself to love for your brother, for your brothers and sisters, filial. Now think about the city Philadelphia in the Bible, the city Philadelphia in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of what? The city of brotherly love. So that's what filio is, that type of love. And he and Jesus even talks about that love in Matthew chapter 10, 37, when he says, he that loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He's talking about that filio type of love, that brotherly love. Now while Eros describes that passionate love and filio describes brotherly love, neither was used consistently by the New Testament authors when describing love. But the type of love that we're talking about here is agape love. Agape love. So agape love, we see this word love so many times in this passage. We have to think about the love that we have, that is in the love relationship we have with Jesus. This is the love that has been defined by God's action of sending Jesus into the world. It was a love that reached out to those who did not deserve it. It's a love that put the interests of others first. It's a love that forgave people and started over with them. And it's a love that sacrificed itself for others. So that's the type of love that we're talking about. It means that caring, forgiving, that spontaneous, redeeming love, which is the essence of God's nature. Any different use of this word violates the scriptural meaning. Now, love is the most important ingredient in the relationship between a Christian and God. Henceforth, the title for this message is The Priority of Love. And I like the way Paul lays this out, because in the first three verses, I'll go ahead and give you the points now. In the first three verses, he talks about the necessity of love. In other words, he's talking about the fact that love is essential. And in the verses 4-8, he talks about the description. He describes love, the description of love. Now, love is one of those things that's hard to define, but it's easy to recognize. Amen? You know, somebody will say, well, why do you like her? Well, I can't really put words to it, but I recognize it when I see it. I can't really tell you about it, but you will recognize it when you see it. So we're going to start out with the necessity of love, which comes from verse 1-3. And that first verse, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You know, there is something about people who are gifted with the tongue. When we are envious of people who are gifted with their tongue, but that is truly a gift. You look at the greatest singers, and sometimes you want to sing like them. You gotta wish, I wish I could sing like Luther. I wish I could sing like so and so. You kind of wonder sometimes, where would I be now if I could sing like that? But I can tell you one thing, I probably wouldn't be preaching right now if I could sing like that. So God knows what gifts to give you, gifts that you can utilize for what he wants you to do. But it says again, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You know, I would desire if I could to speak with the power of Dr. Martin Luther King. But if I do that and don't have love for others, then I'm making meaningless noise, essentially, is what that is saying. I if I don't do it with love, if I do it to self-serve myself, you know, it's nothing. It's meaningless to all. I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, a clanging cymbal. I would be like what James Brown once said, talking loud and saying nothing. Amen. There are quite a few people who think they have good oratory skills, but they are talking loud and they are saying nothing, only impressing themselves and nobody else. So somebody knows somebody like that? I think I know a few. In the second verse, he says, and though I have the gifts of prophecy. Now remember in chapter 12, he has just gone over these gifts. And he has gone over these gifts. So see, these folks were kind of puffed up in their giftedness. But he's laying out for them that although you might have all of this, if you don't have love, you are nothing. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Let me paraphrase that to you in my own language. And if I have the gift of prophecy and understand the future, I could have the knowledge of Solomon. I could have the scientific intellect of Galileo or Einstein. But if I don't love others, what good would it be? If I had so much faith that I could speak to the mountains and make them move without love, what good would it be? So see, Paul is dealing with this systematic lack of love in the church of Corinth by making it plain to him. And you can tell that it's very important to him by how many times he goes over this and equates it to the various gifts that are bestowed, that God bestows upon his people. That is true today. Folks, love. If we love God, so we can't love our fellow man without loving God. We have to do that. And look at verse 3 of chapter 13. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Other words, I could give everything I have to feed the poor. I can house the homeless. I can go to prison for my people. But if I don't have love, my sacrifice has no value. I could have my picture in the paper chronicling my charitable contributions. But if I didn't do it for love, I'm only doing it for myself. I'm not doing it for my people. Amen. So he makes that very clear to them, the priority of love and that love is essential. And then he goes on to describe love. And just in case somebody doesn't know, We're going to go over these next four verses and describe love. And it's interesting, there are 15 descriptions of love in these four verses. 15, count them, 15 descriptions of love in these four verses. In the fourth verse of chapter 13, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Let me break this down. Number one, keep count along with me in case I have made a mistake. Number one, love is patient. That's what love suffers long. Love is patient. It has the capacity to be wronged and not retaliate. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 21 and 22, Paul chastises them for lack of sharing with the poor at church dinners. In spite of what others do, we are to love one another. Second thing it says that love is kind. Love is always looking for ways to be constructive and lift people up rather than tear them down. Number three, love does not envy. It is not jealous. It is not possessive. Just because somebody else can do it doesn't devalue you in any way. Amen? If we all work in our areas of giftedness, we will be like that finely tuned body that can work together. Number four, love does not boast. It does not brag. It is not anxious to impress. Now that's number four. Love does not boast. I'm kind of feeling like Casey Kasem right now, counting down the hits from the day. Love, number five, love is not proud. It is not arrogant. Love is not arrogant. It does not cherish or inflates ideals of its own importance. You know, there's some people who are legend in their own minds, because that's the way they have set it up. They think they are all that, but they're not. So Paul breaks it down. And in just one verse, he has five descriptions of what love is and what love is not. As we look at the fifth verse in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Here comes number six, love is not rude. Love is not rude. It does not act unbecomingly. It has good manners. We don't behave rudely to our brothers and sisters just because they have a gift that we covet, amen? We do not act that way. Love is not rude. Love, number seven, love is not self-seeking. Love is not self-seeking. It does not insist on its own way. It does not pursue selfish advantage. Number eight, love is not easily angered. Love is not easily angered. It is not irritable. It is not provoked. It is not touchy. Love is not easily angered. Now, that doesn't say that we don't get angry. We do get angry. Let's be honest. But it's not easily angered. We're not easily angered. We try to restrict our anger. We try the best we can, but we try to restrict it. I like a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, who once said, I have decided to stick with love because hate is too great a burden to bear. Hate is too great of a burden to bear. So I will stick with love. And that's the important thing. If we stick with love, then we don't have to worry about hate. If we focus on love, then hate will evaporate. If we focus on love, then hate will not come to the forefront of our spirit and our minds. Now we go on to verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. That's number 10. Number 10, if you're keeping count. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It shares the joy of those who live by truth. That's what love is. Somebody ought to do a song with all of these in here. Just not me. Amen. Okay, going to the seventh verse. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Number 11, love always protects. It bears all things. Number 12, love always trusts, believes all things. It believes all things. Number 13, love always hopes all things. Number 14, love always perseveres. It endures all things. And then we move to the 13th, the 8th verse of chapter 13. It says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And that 15th one is love never fails. You know, we might feel like love fails sometimes, but the godly love, that agape love, that love we have for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will never fail. For after all, we worship the one who gave his only begotten Son so that we might be delivered from our sinfulness. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that love? Love never fails. In those four verses, there are 15 descriptions of love. Do you think that was kind of important for Paul, that he spent that much time dealing with it in only four verses? Now, Paul, someone who could get long-winded about stuff, about items, but in these four verses, he put those descriptions succinctly for us to enjoy, for the church in Corinth, and for our benefit. And you know what? If we look at Paul's letter to the church of Galatia, we'll see that all the characteristics of love, they also show up in the fruit of the Spirit. This is Galatians 5, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But you see which one Paul put first in this letter to the church in Galatia. But the fruits of the Spirit is love. That is the first, and that is the priority. Just to paraphrase the great poet, Dr. Maya Angelou, she once said that, I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And that's what love does. Love helps people to understand we're genuine, and therefore they won't forget what we did for them. We might say a lot of stuff, we might do a lot for people, but guess what? They'll never forget how we made them feel. So therefore, there is a priority of love in the church. There is a priority of love within Christian circles. There is a priority of love in the world. And as this message has shared the necessity of love and the description of love, what comes to mind is the status of the world today. I was reflecting yesterday at a song written by the composer Burt Bacharach back in the day. And the song is, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And he goes on to say, it's the only thing that there's just too little of. And I think that could have been written today, as far as the world is today, as far as our nation is today. Love is what we need. Love is truly what we need. In 1 Peter 4, 8, it's written, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. You think love is important to us? Yes, it is. Love is the essence of every relationship we have. Love. So on this day, on this one day of the year, where it's appropriate and necessary to share love or share expressions of love with our loved ones, let us remember that every day of the year, we are to share our expressions of love with all of those that we minister to, with the gifts that God has given us. And that's the important thing, is to remember that these gifts are not our own, but they come from God. And they come because God loves us. So therefore, it is appropriate and necessary for us to utilize them with the spirit of love. Amen. God bless you. I certainly pray that this message has been inspiring and helpful as we talk about love.